to Unanthropologetic. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. I have Flex and Preston here with me, as always.
Oh, yeah. It's Preston. I did it all over TikTok, and I'm like,
So I haven't been on TikTok in a while, but what that reminded me of was the whole Peppa Pig thing, where there's like usually a couple, and they like one person will tell the other person to snort at a certain point.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
That's what that reminded me of.
Oh my god, I've seen people. I feel like I've seen people do like these little things where it'll be like a girl and a guy, and the girl will like tell the guy to like move his mouth or something, and he doesn't know what he's doing it to.
Yeah.
And it'll be the, oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they're like, oh my god, I can't believe you made me do that.
Right. Yeah. I think it's the same thing, but yeah. Anyway. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I am just kind of like, I'm still trying to like get my like energy back. Moving took the life out of me, but we are finally in the home and we're like here. So we're just trying to figure out how to like where to put things and what we need to buy. We had a run-in with our neighbor this morning because apparently our TV was too loud.
Oh, shit. So
our bottom floor neighbor like came, I guess she like came upstairs, knocked on the door. We didn't hear her. And so she went all the way downstairs outside and started ringing our door. And it's like one of those intercom buzz systems, like when they buzz and you have to like press the button and be like, hello, who is it?
Yeah.
So she like pressed that, and we like, it's 4:30 in the morning. Who would be at our door? And we were like trying to speak and she didn't say anything. And then finally, I heard someone coming up the stairs. And so I was like, just peeping my head out. And it was her talking about some, the TV's loud. And, you know, it's 4 in the morning. And it just feels like the TV is right in the room with us. And I'm kind of like, so fuck what, bitch? Like, fuck off. So, anywho, Tyler was upset that she came up here. I guess he was more upset about the way she did it, like by going outside and ringing the door. I don't know. It was like doing the most.
Yeah. It's kind of extra. And also like, now I have to live with this woman and like, I don't know, there could have been like a friendlier way to do it, or like, you know, do it later. Like when they meet, I don't know, you know?
Right. Like in the evening, you know, knock on the door, those types of things. So, I don't know, Tyler went down there to confront them. Not confront them, that sounds horrible. But he went down there when we got home. And the wife wasn't there, but he spoke to the husband.
Oh, shit.
And basically was like, yeah, if y'all have a problem with something, you know, email us. Or, you know, here's our number, call us type of thing. Versus going up and down.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's like, I don't know. I feel like I would have a similar like feeling. Like I would feel, I don't know what the word is. I guess annoyed or just like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's how he felt, like very annoyed. And, you know, for me, I just don't put a lot of energy into that type of stuff. Like we're going to do what we want to do regardless. So if that is keep the TV down or turn up the TV, like we're going to do whatever we want to do with that. So I don't care to go down and be like, hey bitch, what's up? But you know, that's my man or whatever, I'm gonna stick beside him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's good. But yeah,
how are you?
Sucks. I'm like really tired. I just got out of class like an hour ago maybe. Mm-hmm. And we had to give these presentations on like behavioral measurement. And it was like, it's a really fun class and I really have enjoyed it. But like, I have a lot to get done this week because we're in the midst of, you know, wrapping up the semester and finals and all these expectations. And yeah, so I'm, you know, just one thing at a time. Just everything gets done when it needs to get done. So it's a matter of just doing the thing.
When is the semester officially done?
I think the 13th. That's when I have to submit my last final, at least. So that's when it's done for me. And then I'm going to India. And Preston will be solo hosting this podcast. You'll do great, though, I'm sure. I mean, I guess you could bring Ty on, too.
Absolutely. I mean, otherwise there'll just be people listening to me ramble, which no, it's fine.
I mean, you could talk about whatever you want, you know, like you could talk about painting your nails. You could talk about Beyonce. You could, you know,
it should be a Beyonce appreciation episode, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about doing that. We should actually do it.
Yeah. Like, it needs to happen. We've talked about everyone but Beyonce, question mark. But I mean, I have criticisms for Beyonce as well, but.
But me, I think that'd be a good episode for you and Ty to do. Yeah.
We'll see. Cause he's a, you know, he's a part of the Beehive.
Yeah.
So I just have to like, you know, plan effectively in order to get these episodes recorded and done. But if I have Tyler on the scene, then we already know he's going to keep me accountable because he's hella organized.
I don't know. I mean, you're organized too, the spreadsheets.
I'm only organized at work. In my real life, I'm not organized.
Okay.
My real life, I'm like, I just wear, you know, I go where the wind blows.
Yeah. So.
So.
We're going to be talking about me. No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. Teach your own horn, honestly and truly. So I feel like it's only right for me to introduce this episode. You know, so normally we have our Mona introduce the topic, but today's topic is all about Mona because Mona just celebrated a birthday.
Yeah, I'm officially 21 for the 10th time.
21 years young, and you know, with life, with me moving, buying this home, Mona having finals and just different things at school and work, we just haven't gotten around to doing this episode, but we're finally here and finally talking to Mona, because we don't talk about Mona enough on this episode, on this show.
I don't feel like we do.
I feel like you need me blabbering my mouth about something, but I feel like it's only right to have a Mona-focused episode. So,
well, dang.
I feel like this should work. If I have so many different questions, some are very superficial, others are very in-depth, that I'm putting you on the spot. And I want your philosophy. And
philosophy.
Love, that's a T word. And really just diving more into the psyche that is Mona. So I'm very excited. So we're going to start very superficial, very, you know, cool. I have a list. I'm trying to figure out which ones do I want to start with.
A list? Preston came prepped.
No. Okay. So in the spirit of food, I just ate dinner. So this came to my mind a few days ago where I was like, you know, I wonder what food makes Mona do a happy dance? Like, you know, when you take that bite, you're like, what food is that for you?
That's a really good question. I think it depends a lot on like the weather. So I do really like Chipotle. I have to like just throw that out there. If anyone didn't know, I'm really obsessed. So I love Chipotle, but also like recently in the colder weather, I've been really liking pho.
Like, it's just been like the thing that hits the spot. And yeah, it's something I like look forward to. Me and my, so Temple has a lot of like food trucks. And so me and my friends like had this like mission to try all the food trucks this semester because school's open finally. And pho has been like the one thing that I've had like a million times, and it's, it never gets old.
That's great. What about like a, is there like an Indian comfort food dish? Oh. That
I feel like all of it, or anything that my mom cooks, especially like, I feel like I really love all of her cooking. There's something called aloo paratha, which is like a flat, like it's like the, like what, I don't know how to explain it, like a tortilla with stuffed with potatoes. Freaking delicious. I could eat that. I could eat that all the time. That's like a huge comfort food. And then what else is there that she cooks? Oh, my aunt makes really good. My aunt's like really religious, so she doesn't eat onion or garlic, but her food, oh my gosh, that's like one thing that I'm really looking forward to when I go to India, but I don't know how to define it. It's just very like, I don't think it's Indian, but it's like if she somehow put it together, like, and it's just like the best food. It's better than my mom's food, which I think is saying a lot.
Hopefully mama doesn't hear that, because I feel like she'll be like, excuse me.
My mom would agree.
Well, that's great. I feel like to me, food always just kind of, you know, defines someone. Like my favorite food is hot wings. So okay. That should send a message that I am ratchet and from Atlanta. So that's what that means. So we're moving from food. I kind of want to go into a deep question. So we're going to go back and forth.
Sure.
So my first deep question for you, for people to get to know you more, what are your passions? And that is professionally and personally, because we know what you do. But I wonder, are there like, you know, those mini micro passions or things that within that make up the bigger picture that truly like fulfill you or like defines what you believe your purpose to be?
I mean, I think like one of my passions is to like make, so one of my passions is to, like kind of give back to the community or do like community service work. And I know that sounds so weird. It's like a Mother Teresa answer, but it's something that I do really enjoy. And I think it fulfills me and kind of gives me like purpose. And, I think I just am very like service oriented because all the jobs that I've like enjoy the most have always been about like giving back to people or taking care of people. And maybe that's also me being codependent. But I think that's really like one of my biggest passions. It's also one of the reasons why I went into public health. And like, I feel like I don't really have a separation between my professional life and like my personal life in that regard, which is probably unhealthy. But yeah, that's definitely something I am in the right field. I know that because it's something that like I can easily think about every day, talk about every day, do every day. But otherwise, like, I really love, you know, like weightlifting. I haven't been as active in that as much as like I've wanted to be, but, I love challenging my body, which is also why I took on climbing because I feel like it's another thing that is really challenging. I love makeup. I love skincare. Those are things that I think are like more like those micro passions that like no one really sees because I do it like in the privacy of my own room where I'm alone. And then also like another thing I really love is cooking, like recreating things that I've had at a restaurant. But yeah, I haven't had time for that really that like lately either. But when I was in Virginia, I felt like I did that all the time, every week.
Do you have a favorite dish that you cook or?
Yeah, I have a couple. So like, I can't remember the name of it. It's something like cabeza, which I used to have at this Mexican restaurant when I lived in Virginia. And it was like chorizo and like zucchini and like some type of squash. And like, I feel like I did a really good job of recreating it. And then also Mad Taco used to have these portobello mushroom tacos that I could eat, like back when I was vegan. It was like the only food I could eat in Texas. And I recreated those as well. So I feel like I can eat those whenever I want. But yeah, really, like, it's really anything. It's more the challenge of like being able to taste like flavors and like, you know, figure out a spice profile and all that, that I really like love. It's like a good challenge.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I don't feel like I knew that about you, that you like to recreate meals. So I'm even learning things about you. Okay. So wait, was that my, no, that was my deep question. I'm already forgetting. Okay. So a lighthearted question. When was the last, what was the last movie or like song even that made you get really emotional or made you cry?
Ooh, that's a good question. So like, this is really dumb, but on my way back, I was in Colorado for over like the weekend, but on the way back, I don't really think this counts, but on the way back, I was watching Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Mm-hmm.
And the part where the little girl is like dying of leukemia and, you know, she and the character Tilly, I think her name is, or Tibby, when they had their like little heart to heart before she died, that like, I was like really emotional during that part. I like cried and I was on the plane next to this complete stranger and like bawling my eyes out. But then there's also this Indian movie called Gal Ho Na Ho. And that movie, I feel like, was really like transformational for me from like a spiritual perspective, because it's a really sad movie. But it's also happy. Like, I think Bollywood has a good way of balancing those two emotions. And that movie came out a long time ago, but it's still something that, like, as I've aged, it has stayed with me. Something I enjoy watching every once in a while. In terms of a song, I don't think I've had an emotional connection to a song in a really long time, or I can't think of one. There is, what is that song called? I can't remember right now. But it was like, it was I think produced during COVID. And it kind of talks about like not being able to see people during COVID. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was called. I'll have to look it up and maybe I'll post about it or something. But that song has like been a song I really love right now. And whenever it comes on, it just makes me feel things.
Absolutely. I think, you know, that's the power of, you know, visual media, like a movie or songs. It can, you know, really speak to an integral part of us. I mean, I cry over every song on the Adele album, regardless if I can relate to it or not, because I have, you know, broken up with my fiance multiple times. So I definitely get that one. So now we're going into a deep question. And you kind of spoke about your codependency earlier in this episode, even in multiple ones before. And so I wanted to know, what is like the biggest lesson that you feel like you've learned through your therapy experience?
Through therapy, I think like really that you have to advocate for yourself, even in therapy. Like, I'm not in therapy right now and I should be. Just because I think that's like always going to be an ongoing lifelong journey for me personally. Mm-hmm. But even like with my last therapist, like I had to essentially fire her and I had to tell her, you know, that I didn't want to work with her anymore. And I think this year has been like really transformational for me in that regard, because I have had to, especially recently, like in the last few months, like I feel like every week I'm having a conversation about like something that is me advocating for myself. And I think that's something that I got from therapy. Like even the lady who I fired as my therapist, I think that's the one thing I took away from my sessions with her, is like we can all want someone to rescue us, or we can want to rescue other people. But at the end of the day, it's up to the individual mm-hmm. to, you know, do the things that are right for them. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great lesson, I think. You know, I learned the same lesson? Honestly and truly, my therapy has not been successful. So I feel like I've just been going through time and space. So I'm glad that you've learned something. You know, I did learn a lesson. I just have learned that I need to bet on myself. Because at the end of the day, only you got your own back. So
yeah, I think that's a really important like thing too. And like, I mean, I think like this is me getting deep now, but when I left med school and like, you know, essentially rebuilt my life, like that's what that was me betting on myself. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, I agree. I think that's like a really big, important lesson. And I wish that everyone would bet on themselves more.
Easier said than done. Absolutely. So, I guess, is this a deep question? I think it is. So what do you do when you feel like you've had a hard day? Excuse me. Or when you feel like you've hit a wall and you need to somehow pour into yourself or like reconnect with Mona, like what, how do you do that? What do you do?
I usually just won't do anything like in terms of work, like nothing productive or nothing like to-do list based. I don't know the answers to all these. These are just like what I'm thinking now. Cause it like, I don't have my shit together. Let's just say that as much as I might like present as that, I hope I don't present as that, but if I do, I don't have my shit together. But I think like when I hit that wall, I feel like I just really hit that wall hard and I will like lay in bed. I'll watch Law and Order SVU. I'll like do something that I want to do. And usually that's like going to the gym or, you know, now it's been rock climbing. I've started journaling a lot as also like, cause sometimes I want to like write down the times when I kind of felt my lowest, because I feel like later on when I'm out of that space and I reflect on it, I feel like it gives me like so much hope that like, okay, you got through this really shitty time, got through this really stressful time. And it's a good reminder that I'm resilient. And so those are things that I've like definitely done over the years that have, I think, helped me. But again, sometimes it's a mess. It is. I don't have the answers to everything or anything really.
Well, I think life is a constant like mess, you know. Yeah. I think sometimes we just get better equipped at dealing with the mess. But like there's always going to be something, right? Yeah. So it's about adjusting your expectations and truly learning how to cope and move through, which I have learned that not everybody knows how to do.
Yeah.
Not everybody knows how to cope without, you know, resorting to certain things like sex, drugs, and alcohol. But anywho, and I resort to all three of those. So at the end of the day, yes. So then that brings me to my next question of what makes you feel most at home?
I feel like a nice sunrise. Mm-hmm. I know that's like really weird to say, but like, I think like all my favorite moments or the moments that stick out most or the moments that I feel like the most nostalgia for involve like nature or the sunrise. Yeah. Cause like in Virginia, I feel like every morning, especially during COVID, like my one thing that would like get me out of the bed was being able to go to like the nearest river and watch the sunrise while I was like running. Mm-hmm. Or in Colorado, same thing. And like those are the things that I think I like want to always experience for the rest of my life. Like that's like a non-negotiable for me in terms of what my home looks like. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know that's so cheesy. I'm such a freaking cheesy person.
I think a lot, but you're a very outdoorsy person anyway. So that to me makes perfect sense that that would be fine to be home. Like, I don't, if I never saw the sun again, I would be like, fine, great. And I've just recognized that over the years, for me, Tyler is kind of where my home is.
Aww, that's so sweet.
I feel at home. So
I need to find that in a person. And I will one day, just you not will. Now.
Yeah. And, you know, you can't rush it. It will happen. Mm-hmm. Oh, that takes me to another question, but I'm going to ask a fun one before then. Okay. Do you believe in ghosts?
That's such an interesting question. I don't really know. So I've had like really weird experiences that make me want to believe in ghosts or like some form of supernatural. Mm-hmm. But I kind of also like, you know, like the researcher in me is like, maybe there's like an explanation for it that isn't like a ghost. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, one example, I'll give two examples. So one example is like me and my family, one time we were in India and we were going to this place that we had never been. We'd never visited these relatives of ours. And like, this is our first time ever seeing them in our life. I think I was like, you know, in my late teens or early 20s. And we walk into the room and there's this like giant portrait of this guy who I've seen in my dreams like a million times. Mm. And it turns out it's like my great, great grandfather. And, you know, he's like very like striking in terms of how he looked. He had like really long hair. It was like white, really long beard. What that was also white. And he looked exactly the same as his portrait. And like, I can't explain that because I'd never seen a portrait of this person before. Mm-hmm. And so that always sticks out to me. And then also, there was one time where one of my relatives, I think it was my mom's dad. So my grandfather, who, when he died, like just prior to him, prior to us getting the phone call that he was dying, I had again been dreaming about him. And he literally was talking to me and he was like saying like, you know, he was saying something like, you're going to get a phone call now. And just like, as I woke up, the phone call came. It was just super weird. And so like, I don't know how to explain those things, but those are my two like experiences that make me be like, you know, maybe ghosts are real. I don't know.
So I think, you know, don't they call that what, like an empath or someone who like
maybe
connection with the other side in some way?
I mean, those are the only two like big experiences that I have ever had. So I don't know. I have no idea.
Those seem very substantial. Like I've never had those types of experiences before. You might be a psychic of some sort.
No, That's
a Mona.
Can read minds, but no, I don't know what it is. I think there's a lot of psychology that can explain a lot of this because it's not like, you know, I was anticipating my grandfather dying and maybe just was coincident that, you know, I had that dream. Who knows? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So takes me to a deeper question. Mm-hmm. So what have you learned about love? And how do you define love?
That's such a good question. I don't feel like I know anything about love. Nothing. I think that like, for me, again, being so codependent, my idea of love has definitely been very tainted and not very pure. But like, I think something that like I strive for in terms of like a loving relationship is to like have the sense of freedom to be whoever I am and allow that person, the person that I'm with, to also have that sense of freedom to be whoever they are. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, I think that's like one of the most loving things that anyone can do is to like accept people for exactly who they are, and not like change them or anything like that, but also like have something, at least a few things in common on which you can connect. And I've always struggled with that because like I see my parents as an example and they've had like a pretty healthy, you know, marriage, but they're also like best friends. They do everything together. They go everywhere together. And that's been like my model of what love in a relationship should look like. But I'm starting to understand that like I'm never going to meet a person who wants to do all the same things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I need to learn to be okay with that. And they need to be learn to be okay with me also doing that. But also like we have to have something where we can hang out and bond and connect and whatever that is. Like that mm-hmm. could be, I don't know, going to the gym or rock climbing or cooking or whatever it is. So I don't know. I guess to me, like being in love also means being free to be exactly who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but again, I don't know anything about love. I am single. I've been single for like 2 years now mm-hmm. and I'm not unhappy about it, but, yeah, I'm not a good person to ask about love.
Well, I think, you know, love has many spectrums, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have your romantic love, you have your platonic love and, you know, the love you may have for your family or love you may have for friends. And,
yeah.
you know, it's a different love, but it is just as important to understand how to nurture those relationships, mm-hmm. right? In addition to the ones that you have romantically. So I always think about love because I feel like as I've gotten older, love has looked very different for me mm-hmm. With the many different people in my life.
Yeah.
I feel like it used to.
That's a good point too. And you're right. I like, there is different kinds of love. and I think that's something that like, I think I've always been cognizant of that, but it is something that I've definitely thought of more. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. Every relationship is different. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So staying on the topic of love, have you identified in your X amount of years of life, your 21 years of life, have you identified how you want to be loved or how you receive love in a sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think quality time is like my primary form of love, like in terms of if we're talking about the love languages, mm-hmm. like I love it when people spend time with me. And it, again, this applies to anyone, friends, family. I love when people spend time with me. I kind of also think like gift giving is one of my love languages because like, I think like it doesn't have to be something exorbitant or like expensive or whatever, but like just the thought that goes into someone giving me a gift or something like that, that also like, I don't know. That's something that I've like realized that like, I always like shied away from the idea of like gift or receiving gifts as like being for my language. But as I've grown up, I've kind of realized that's something that I like do actually enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like when my sister gives me something, I just know how much like thought she put into it. And like, that's something that I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think it's always going to be evolve. I don't know what I want, like a romantic relationship to look like. I do think I have non-negotiables, but yeah, I haven't like isolated that. I think like for me right now, I would just like to feel like an organic connection to someone, not something that's like forced through, I don't know, the apps.
I agree. So what makes you feel the prettiest?
I don't know. I think like superficially, just like getting dressed up, like doing my makeup, like spending the 2 or 3 hours doing my makeup, doing my hair. I think that's something that like always makes me feel really pretty. But I also have to say like, I do also feel beautiful when I'm in the gym and like lifting and things like that. Like, I think that's something that makes me like feel beautiful too, right? Which I know is weird, but
no, I think that's perfect, you know, perfectly normal
question. Okay.
I think a lot of people, again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and you find your beauty in different spaces mm-hmm. in different ways. And, you know, what I find beautiful may not be what someone else finds beautiful, yeah. but that doesn't make it less beautiful.
That's true. You're right. Look at you with all this wisdom.
I be trying. Okay? It is hard. So brings me to a superficial question. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite makeup product? Like, if you had to say, oh, I cannot live without this one, what would that be?
Such a good question. That's such a good question. I don't know. I haven't done like full glam in a really long time, but I think like right now I really love the look of like a really like a smoky eye. It doesn't have to be like multiple colors, but like a very sultry smoky eye. I think that's really like just really sexy, not on me, on everyone. But I think that's like what I like. It's not something I've done recently, but that's something that I think, like, if I had to only choose one thing to do for the rest of my life, I would choose that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So what scares you?
What scares me? Failure. This is really funny because, around Halloween, me and a couple of my friends, we went to a haunted house. And like, one of the questions when you fill out the form to go to the haunted house is like, what are your fears? And I like my friends literally put down like failure as theirs. I think like on a deep, less superficial or like a yeah le- or less superficial level, I would say fear of failure or not reaching my full potential. On a more superficial level, snakes. I don't like snakes.
Certain things I just don't understand how people develop a fear of like. People will say like, oh, I have a fear of being in a pit of snakes, right?
Oh, yeah.
How do you have that fear? Like, what? Like, no one wants to be in a pit of snakes. You know, like, yeah. No one wants to have rats crawling all over them. Like, how is that a fear? I always have wondered that. But
you know, and I was talking to someone about this recently because, like, you know, when as little kids, when we're first like exploring the world, those kind of things would not scare us, right? Because we have this natural curiosity and we would like gravitate towards, like, we'd probably just grab a snake I would have just grabbed a snake. But I think like we learn through our environment and like the people around us what we fear. And so if our parents had like an adverse reaction to like a snake, maybe we learned that, internalized it. But I don't know. If we like, you know, I don't know anyone personally who grew up in a silo. I certainly didn't. So that has, I don't know. I don't know the evidence for that, but I think it's all learned.
Fear of heights is mm-hmm. probably a phobia at this point. but to me, that makes sense because I could die. I will die if I fall from a high place.
I have a question for you. So like, did you always have fears or did you develop fears as you grew older?
My fear of height?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have had that fear as long as I can remember.
Oh, okay.
As long as I can remember. So I don't know if something happened that I can't recall that created that fear, but I have never enjoyed the sensation of my feet not being on the ground in any capacity. I don't want to be in a ladder. Like, I get up and do things because I simply have to, not because I want to or enjoy them, but like a plane gives me anxiety, but I'm not going to drive. So I get in the plane, you know, like it's out of necessity.
Yeah.
And when we went to Disney World this past summer, I challenged myself to get on this one like log ride. No, it wasn't at Disney World. It was at Universal Studios. And it's like a water ride and you get on this log. And at the very end, there's this huge drop. Huge. And I have been traumatized ever since. I'm never going back. I'm never doing it again. I am good. I don't want to challenge myself. I don't want to be off the ground. I'm not doing it.
That's really interesting. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense. I think like for me, I think I've developed more fears also as I've grown older. Cause like, I know I was super reckless, like in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And like now I feel like I definitely am more cognizant of the fact that I can die at any turn, you know, because so even rock climbing, like rock climbing, sometimes I'll be like halfway up a wall and I'm just like, what if I fall and this is the end? And, but I still keep doing it, you know, like, I don't know, but it's interesting because I definitely did. Like, I was very fearless throughout my entire 20s. And like more recently, I mean, I still think that I have a lower fear response than like the average person, but I, you know, I do think about that specifically when rock climbing, not so much any other time.
Jeez, absolutely not. So I have a weird question that I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. I was like, if Mona had to describe herself as a store, what store would you be? Like, would you be a Target? Would you be a Walmart? Would you be a Lowe's? Like, would you?
Good question.
An Office Depot. Like, what store would you be?
An Office Depot. I want to say Office Depot, but I don't think that's it. I think I'm a Marshall's.
Why?
Because you can find everything there. Like, but like, I don't know. Like, that's such a funny question. I think the first thing that came to mind was Marshall's, but I don't know why. I think it's just because you can find things there. It's affordable. It's, you know, I don't know. Yeah, that's my answer. But, you know, in my dreams, I want to be an office supply store.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to be a Best Buy.
Why?
No, that's not really my real answer. Oh. I'm thinking about like how I love PowerPoints and I could get a computer from Best Buy.
Oh, right.
That would be, but you know, I really think I like this question because I was thinking I had went to Paper Source. Have you heard of that store?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or been to the store, Paper Source. It's like a stationery store. And they sell like cards and paper and notebooks and pens. And I just get so happy when I go into Paper Source. I love it. Yeah. I love Paper Source. And the other store that I love is Anthropology.
Oh, yeah.
And the home decor, because it, again, feeds into my white woman sensibility. Because I do think in a past life, I used to be a white woman in some way.
Oh, okay.
Anthropology is my jam. Paper Source is my jam. I feel at home. I feel at one. I made Tyler take a knitting class with me at Anthropology. And we learned how to knit with like your hands, like your
arms. Interesting.
I can't remember how to do it, but we learned how to do that and we knitted like a little blanket for ourselves.
Aww.
It was amazing and it was one of the best days that I've ever had. So it was
just, sounds so fun.
It is just I love it.
Do you like doing needlework and stuff like you were a whole like fashion design person, so of course like
I'm a fashion kind of person, but
oh yeah.
Boo. I'm over that. So make me a PowerPoint is what I want to be. When I grow up. So I'm running low on my questions. So we are blowing through them. I mean, we've been talking for
A while, yeah.
We've been talking for a minute. So I have a few final questions, but my first of two or three final ones is, what do you want to be remembered for? What is your legacy, the legacy that you want to leave behind?
I think about this literally every day. I really do. It is a daily ritual for me. Mm-hmm. But I think like I want to be remembered for like just being a good friend, being a good person, always like doing the right thing. Maybe a Nobel Peace Prize. No, I'm just kidding. Or like making a difference in my community. And I think like, this is really funny, but I talk to all my Lyft drivers, like if they want to engage in conversation. And I think we have a lot of really good conversations. And I really hope that they remember some of that because, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like, I feel like it's a very, what's the word? Like a reciprocal conversation where I feel inspired by them, but I'm also hoping that I inspire them. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So I feel like, you know, I hope they remember me. I hope all my Lyft drivers remember me, but I'm sure
they do because I never talk to mine. So literally leave me alone.
But yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. I just really hope that people remember me as like someone who like always wanted to do the right thing and was like a good person. But yeah.
I think that's beautiful. So if you had 7-year-old Mona right in front of you, what would you tell 7-year-old Mona? Would you give her advice? Would you just hug her? What would you do?
I mean, 7-year-old Mona was pretty perfect. You know, she followed all the rules. She was a goody two shoes, mm-hmm. everything her mom wanted her to do. I think like one thing I would tell her is that you're not fat. Because I think like I've received that kind of messaging my entire life. From like various family members, and it left a really like a pretty lasting impact, like where I like who I am. I love my body, but you know, like that is one thing that always gets to me is like, I just wish no one would pass comments, especially family members, on my body or my weight. Like, just let's not talk about that. Like, I'm freaking going to school. Like, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's like one thing I would tell her is that she's not fat. I know that's so superficial, but she was like, you know, 7-year-old Mona, like just wanted to do again, like the right thing. She wanted to like please the people around her. She definitely did not stand up for herself enough. And yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
I know that's what I feel like a lot of us want to do is go to our younger self and give them the strength or the courage that we have today.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of that strength and courage and perseverance comes because of that type of life where you felt like you didn't have a voice or you didn't advocate for yourself.
And I think it comes also from like hitting a wall and finally feeling fed up because we all deserve the best. And so, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. I agree with that statement. I agree wholeheartedly. My 7-year-old self, I think we would just start crying. We would just start holding each other and just crying.
Yeah.
On the floor because it's been such a journey.
Yeah.
To this point. So I hope that you think fondly of yourself when you think back to 7-year-old Mona.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, I was a really good kid. Yeah, I had like, even now, I still think I'm a pretty good kid, but I did have like maybe 6 months where I was just, maybe like 3 years where I was just a complete wild child. But other than that, I like feel like my integrity has always been intact. And yeah, 7-year-old Mona, like, I think she had the weight and pressure of like the entire world on her. But what's also funny is that I sometimes wonder if I put that pressure on myself when I was 7, because as I grew older, like my mom said something, she was like, we never had to tell you and Sheikha to study. Sheikha's my sister. We never had to tell you guys to study or do your homework. And I was just kind of like, when I look back, I like didn't know that was an option.
That right.
Not do your homework or not like do the things. And so I think maybe I put a lot of pressure on myself to like be the good kid until I didn't.
Well, I wonder, was it an option? You know, like, I don't think it was, even if your parents didn't like explicitly say, go do your work. It's kind of like you knew what was expected of you.
Like, I don't know. Like, I just think about these things because, like, you're probably right. Like, it probably wasn't an option, which is why I did it. But, like, the fact that my mom said that, like, years later makes me wonder if it was.
Maybe we'll have to bring in mom for that one. So my final question, and I feel like I asked one of my deeper questions earlier that I was going to say for last, but anywho, it's fine. If you could make one wish and it has no bounds, you know, it could be, I just want $1 trillion. Like, if you have one wish that you could make and to give you anything or to do anything, to create anything, what would that wish be?
That's such a loaded, I'm gonna like, I'm such a cheese monster. Like, the first thing I think about is like world peace, but, but like, also like, I also think like, if I was going to be more selfish and think about that more, I think like for me, it would be to like achieve my full potential, in life, like to do the things that like I have the potential to do. And like, this is like another like deeper, maybe, I don't know, weird conversation, but like my, my mom's very into astrology. And so she'll have, you know, our horoscope read and all these things. And like one time I went with her and the guy always like the guy who was like reading my horoscope told me, that I have like this great destiny. Mm-hmm. Like I'm destined for greatness. That's what he said. And I am waiting for that. Like, when is that going to happen? Hello. So like, I guess like in a lot of ways, and I think like, I feel like anything that I ever do, it'll always be to like give back to the community in some way or another, whether it's just like, you know, making community safer, making them healthier. So I just hope that if I ever achieve my own greatness, I think like it'll be because everyone benefits from it. So,
yeah. I think that's funny. I think I always think about that too. And I'm like, you know, yeah, of course you would want to, you know, maybe wish for financial freedom or money or things like that. And I, you know, and I can't bring myself to think that that's what I would wish for, even though money is a big motivator for me at times. Because at the end of the day, there's just so much more out there that makes me like, I feel like sometimes I feel like I would just wish that, you know, my abuse never happened.
Right? Yeah.
To see who would I have been if I wasn't battling that when I was 8, 9 years old, right? Like, what would I have been able to achieve if I did not feel like, you know, I was hiding this big secret?
Yeah. You know, I get that. I think like, I think that's like a deep want for me. I'm not glad for all the trauma that I went through, but I think I like feel like I wouldn't be where I am now if I hadn't gone through it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really like, especially recently, I've just been really like feeling very grateful and like really reflecting on life and like feeling kind of proud of myself, I guess. And like, I don't think I would trade what I'm doing now for anything else. Like in terms of life, in terms of who I am. And so, I mean, of course, none of us want the trauma that we've had. But I think like for some of us, it's also like a way to look back and be like, wow, I'm freaking amazing. And I mean, I think that goes for you too. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, as much as like, yeah, whatever happened to you was like obviously really, really shitty. But I'm at least proud of you, who you are, and like all the things, even just like this year.
I'm this a bad year bitch. Alone.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm a bad bitch. No.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. Like, yeah, you know, you sometimes look back and you think about what if I had made this decision over that decision, or mm-hmm. you know, if I went left versus right or whatever. And I think, you know, that's a slippery slope, because at the end of the day, you know, you don't know who you would have become had life worked out differently.
Right.
But I feel like the journey that I've taken led me to this moment right now where I'm, you know, a homeowner with Tyler. You know, I might not have met Tyler. I might not have chosen to go to Chicago had I not had the journey that I had. So
yeah, absolutely. Like, there's so much, like, yeah, it's, it's like such a double-edged sword in a lot of ways, because of course, like, none of us deserve like some of like the shittiest sides of humanity that exists.
Right.
But like, I like, for you, at least, I wouldn't want to trade anything that you have for you. Like, if I had to change your life, like, I probably wouldn't. Like, what else could you get at this point, except for like $1 million and a legacy?
I need it.
You need to pay off that house.
Pay off this house, buy another one, pay off student loans.
Yeah.
Come on, $1 million. But
yeah. But I just wouldn't trade it. Like, again, same thing. Like, I wouldn't have met you. I wouldn't have gone to Texas. I wouldn't be in Philadelphia right now. Like, I wouldn't have been an epidemiologist. Like, mm-hmm. There's just so many things that like I never would have done if I hadn't gone through what I went through. So yeah, I struggle with that a lot, because again, I don't want to ever tell someone like your trauma was worth it, because it never is. But yeah. And it's also interesting because I just did a presentation on this like construct of social constraints. Mm. And I feel like we're having that conversation right now about like receiving your trauma or having the people around you like talk about your trauma. But I just like wouldn't trade anything that I have in my life right now for anything else. And maybe that's also psychological. Like, I've convinced myself this is what I like. I don't know. I feel grateful all the time, especially recently, for like the life I have. So
absolutely. I 110% agree.
These are good questions.
I really was like just regurgitating these questions out of my, like, I was just typing them. So you know,
they were fun. It was fun.
I thought that it would be nice for us to get to know more about Mona. I always think that it's nice to know about Mona. It's like, you're open book, but also very mysterious.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, learn more about Mona. And I think with your birthday passing and you're another year older, or excuse me, the 21 again.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to see where your perspectives are and what has changed over the years. And yeah. Are you more in tune with who you are today versus where you were 10 years ago?
That's so. Like also such an interesting thing that I've been thinking about recently. Cause like, you know, I don't know if you had this in like your 20s, but in my 20s, my early 20s, I thought I like knew everything. I knew what my life was going to look like. I knew like I had a plan. And then like around my mid 20s, I kind of like was like, well, shit, I don't know anything. Like, I don't know nothing. And then I slowly started feeling like, oh yeah, I'm sure of myself. Like again, when I was approaching 30, and now I'm back in this place where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wave. And I think it's like fun though. It's not a bad wave. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, but I like where I am right now. So. So yeah, we'll revisit this in 10 years and we'll see if I'm like happy still.
Well, I hope that you're happy in 10 years. I wish you 10 more amazing years to come. So that is it with our questions for this week from Mona. Do you want to give it, you want to take it away, Mona, and do the outro?
Yeah. Thank you for having this episode. I mean, yeah, I feel like I don't actually, well, yeah, I think you're right. I don't talk about myself enough, but I like it that way anyway. But yeah, you should go follow Preston at Flex and Preston and Charming Preston. You should follow me at Miss Mona or the Bumbling PhD. I've been posting more on Miss Mona. Preston's been posting more too. Like, his stories have been popping. and yeah, you should go follow this podcast at Unanthropologetic Podcast. Leave us a comment, like, subscribe on the Apple platform if that's where you're listening. Mm-hmm. And if that's not where you're listening, you should go listen there and leave us a comment or three. Anything else? Am I missing anything?
No, I don't think so. So wait, how many more episodes are we going to get with you this year? Do we have at least another week?
I think we have at least two more.
Okay.
Potentially. Maybe one more, but two more potentially.
Okay.
So yeah. And then it's all Preston. You guys have to get ready. We're giving you a warning.
you have to get ready.
Is it working for me or for everyone else?
For everyone else. Like, they have to prep themselves to, like, you know, you're just so full of sass. So, like, you got to sit down, start to get their giggles going, you know, like, my sister was making fun of me the other day for, like, sorry, I'm, like, going off on a tangent, but my sister was making fun of me the other day for editing the episode because she's like, you have the stupidest smile on your face. Like, so, but yeah. But yeah, anyway, until next time, take care.